All right. Well, Kohalia Telecom, I am, this is Rainbow Many Colors, name given to me by grandfather Itzwoot Wawahayu many, many years ago when I attended his medicine wheel teachings in Kent, Washington. And when he started teaching Chinook jargon, I was right there at the beginning, and I've been there ever since, and it's really fun. I really enjoy it, and I'm really, really glad to see so many of you, you know, coming on, and I really like this Zoom thing. I really do. It's nice to get together as a group and talk, but this allows us to bring people in from so much greater distance. So this is December 10th, 2020. And we're going to have one more meeting this year because the third and fourth Thursdays of December fall on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And I will be sending out a reminder to that. We are meeting for the 47th time. That's Lockett Totlam P. Cinemux. And as usual, we'll start our meeting with Grandfather telling us a legend and sharing an artifact from his museum with us. And then we will go to the lesson portion of Legends and Lessons. And Marcia and I will discuss with the rest of you the second half of the Christmas songs that we started on last week. So with that, Grandfather, are you ready to give us a lesson tonight? A legend?
Nawitka, yes, yes, yes. Well, my story tonight is a story about Mount Adams. Ooh. Back in the 1800s, this story was told by a Yakima chief. He said that he heard it when in the longhouse when he was just a boy. And Mount Adams was known as Patu. And the story goes like this. Before any people came, human beings, the son, grandfather's son, had five wives. They were mountains, because they were living beings. They were Takoma, Lawilala, Mount Rainier, Mount St. Helens, Patu, Mount Adams, and two other little smaller mountains on the east side of Mount Adams. And Patu was a very tall mountain. In fact, it was the second highest mountain in the state of Washington, Mount Rainier being the highest. She was a very proud individual, but she got upset and angry because her husband, the son, would always come and talk to her, his wives in the east first, always rising in the east. So he had talked the first wife in the farthest east, and then the next one, and wouldn't talk to her until he got to her. And she felt she was the best, she was the one. And so she got angry and she knocked the tops, the heads off of both the mountains on the east side. And today they're just little hills, Mount Simcoe and one just east of that, the Goat Rocks, where you know where the Goat Rocks are. And the mountain or the hill called Simcoe, those were the two other wives. Well, she continue to be so full of pride, feeling she is the best. And she turned kind of mean, and she went across the big river down south of her. And she raided Chief Wyeth's country, that's Mount Hood, and took all the grizzly bears and all the elk and all the sheep and roots and berries and all, and took them to Patu, to her mountain. That's why there's so many, when he told the story, why there were so many bears and elk and deer and berries and all on Mount Adams. The mountain known today as the Three Sisters, I'll give that name rather than, because it's the one you know, south of Mount Hood, went to Wyeth, Mount Hood, and said to her, "You should not have let Patu raid you and take all the stuff from you. And you need to rise up and punish her for that." And so Wyeth, she went to Patu and said, "My people, that when the human beings come here, I won't have any elk or deer or berries or anything for them because you took all of it. Now I'll settle with you, all right. You just give half of them back to me. That way you'll have plenty to fill the two-leggeds when they come, and I'll have some to feed them." Well, Patu absolutely refused in her arrogance. So they entered into a war with each other. You would call it volcanoes, but they were throwing hot rocks at each other. And so Wyeth, Mount Hood, she knocked the head off of Patu, Mount Adams. And that's where one reason why you see a whole lot of rocks on the north side of Mount Adams today. Well, the Great Spirit, he saw all this stuff that was going on, and he was very sad. And he spoke to Patu, because Patu, in the meantime, had also become very angry after losing her head. And she started pouring down heavy rains and flooding the Yakima Valley. And so the Great Spirit, he got after her for that. And so she apologized and said she would no longer destroy life and floods and all down in the Yakima Valley. And so the Great Spirit commended her for that and said, "You know, I am your father." Oh, that really made her proud. She said, "I didn't know that the Great Spirit was my father." And so she's been at peace ever since. End of story. Oh, how interesting. So many of the Indian legends showed that spoke of the mountains as being human beings. When we first started this series of legend tellings, I told you about Kala's version of Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier and Mount Adams. And in those legends, in the Kala's legends, Mount Rainier had two wives. One was Lawi Lawli and the other Patu. But some of the things we learn from that, we can become mean and ornery, and we're going to get punished. We're going to get punished by not only the others, mountains that are around, or the other people that are around, but when we start finally coming to doing peace, we all of a sudden discover the Great Spirit is our papa, our daddy, Father God. Oh, now it's back to the Christian concept of God as our Heavenly Father. And so any questions and or, oh, I left out one thing that I forgot to tell you about that in that legend. We've got to add that because it's going to be important for the next time I tell a legend. It's, and that is, you know, when the Great Spirit wanted to honor Patu for turning out and repenting and being nice, he said, I'm going to give you a new head. You lost your head in that battle with White East. And so he sent White Eagle and his son and said, I'm going to put White Eagle right on the top of your head, your mountain. That'll be your new head, the snow cap. But when the Chakamau chief who told this legend, he said that when he was young, a young man, he climbed to the top of Patu himself, and he saw that on the east side there were many eagles. That's where the eagles on the east side hatch their young and raise their young. And so White Eagle became the new head of Patu, and we'll hear more about White Eagle in a different legend in January. Questions, comments on the legend? I see no hands. Nobody? Anybody speak up if you got a question or comment. Okay, then, Tom, give us the artifact. This is an artifact that Tom took pictures of when he was in the museum here recently. Are we coming with it, Tom?
You're muted. Tom there?
You're muted.
Can you hear me, Tom? I don't think he's here.
Yeah, okay. No, I got it.
Okay. Good.
Maybe. Kind of. Sort of.
There we go.
That is. Look at that beautiful, beautiful eagle. Yeah, we were just talking about the eagle in the legends, and now here's a gorgeous eagle. In our Indian world, before any white men came here to our Indian people, we viewed, as I think every culture that I know of, that the spirit beings move uninhibited, throughout the universe, throughout the our world area. So when we see birds flying uninhibited, they became symbols of the spirit world. And so, whereas the dove, in all cultures I know of, is a symbol of the spirit being peace, the eagle, the most powerful and most majestic of all the birds of the air, becomes a symbol of the Great Spirit or God, the great chief of the above. And so, this is a very powerful, this artifact here is a very, very powerful symbol in the Indian world. In the Indian world, if you have an eagle flying over you, Indians would say, oh, the Great Spirit, the Creator is honoring you and blessing you. I remember a time when the Nooksack Indians, they have a reservation, but it's only 1 acre. And they were having a time economically tough. They were low on food and clothing. And I was pastoring an Indian church in Seattle at that time. So we ended up getting 5 station wagons or vans filled with food and clothing that we took up in a caravan to give to the Nooksack Indian people. Oh, they were so thrilled to get it. And while we were there, handing it out to them, four eagles came right above us and circled and circled and circled. And we were just thrilled. And it looks like for a thrill, we, my Indian church, with people from many different tribes, everybody was thrilled. The Creator is here blessing us. They're glad to see us doing this. Any comments or questions about our artifact?
Chope, this is Rainbow.
Yeah, Rainbow. Go
Can
ahead.
You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Tell them about when you were making the annual trip to the Cowlitz villages and the eagle that would come and fly in front of you.
Let's see.
In the morning, the eagle would lead down the river.
I'm trying to remember.
On the river float.
Tell the story as you remember it.
Well, that's about it. It was a very, very powerful trip. Were you on that trip, Marcia?
I've been on one or two of those trips, but not everyone. Probably not that one.
Well, he was telling us, and of course, I don't know whether he put more than one story together or not, but there was some really marvelous, miraculous things that happened. And I remember that he told us that in the morning, as they were all getting ready to move down the river, that every morning an eagle would come.
I know the story you're talking about. Okay.
Okay.
Story. There have been so many eagle stories in my life. Well, on Labor Day weekend every year for many years, we do what our ancestors did. We take our canoes up to the barrier dam on the Cowlitz River, and we put our canoes in the river, and we float down the river past all of the old ancient village sites where we used to have Cowlitz villages, all the way down to close to the mouth of the river at that big park at Kelso Longview. It's a 4-day journey. I've been on that journey several times, paddled my canoe over 50 miles down the river, like our ancestors did. And we stop at every ancient village site, about every mile and a half would be a village site. And we do ceremony for the spirits of the ancestors, our ancestors. And so this first time I made the journey, I was at the spiritual leader did an opening prayer and blessing on each one of the canoes. As I recall, there were about 11 canoes that year in the journey. And after we did the blessing, we pushed our canoes out into the water. We got in them. And as we paddled to the center of the river to flow down the river, an eagle showed up right over the top of us. And stood and led us slowly down the river through the bends for a long way. And then there were times where the eagle would show up again. One of those times on that particular same journey, we came to a place in the river where all of a sudden, all of us, our heads turned and looked up on the upper bank because we heard all kinds of Indian drums playing. We could all hear them very loud, but we couldn't see anybody. Our first thoughts were that a lot of our Cowlitz people, knowing we're going to be coming down the river being by there, they were hiding up there and playing their drums for us. But later on, we found that there weren't any there. It was the spirit people, our ancestors, that were there playing for us. But the eagle, again, showed up over there at that point. The eagle, we have had many, many, many experiences. That's why when Rainbow first asked for the story, I'm trying to know which one of the stories are we referring to. The eagle is still very important to us and still shows up at very, very special, special times. Thank you, Rainbow, for reminding me of that story. Anyone else?
So, Where did the eagle in your museum come from?
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
The eagle in your museum, where did it come from?
Rainbow. Where did the eagle come from?
What?
In your museum.
And this is slower.
The eagle in your museum.
Well, the eagle in
the art
museum.
Mm-hmm. That was where'd it come from?
That came from a dear friend of mine, from Dan Jacobson. He's an enrolled member of the Clatsop New Halem tribe in Oregon. And he had a friend that had it, and it would be illegal for that person to have it. So that friend went to Dan and asked him if he'd like to have it. And Dan knew it would go right to our museum. He brought it up and donated and gifted it. Yeah. Thank you, Tom, for that question. Any others? Well, I guess, Marcia and Rainbow, it's yours for Chinook. Wah, wah. Chinook.
Chinook.
Bossy, bossy. Bossy, bossy.
I would like to say one more thing about an eagle. In the middle of grandfather's spiral garden, where you can, you know, go in and sit and meditate and stuff, there's a really, really nice chainsaw art eagle in the middle of the spiral circle. And that was quite a gift to him. But when I think of eagles and eagles showing up at special times, I remember that the story goes when Chief Dan George died, and they had the ceremony, and all the people came for his ceremony, there were seven eagles that came and flew in a circle the entire time of the ceremony.
Chief Dan George was a chief of the Indians in British Columbia in the Vancouver, BC area. And he was a personal friend of mine. I visited with him several times in his own home. He was a marvelous man, a very spiritual Indian, and a great storyteller. In fact, he was, when he was recognized, probably the best Indian storyteller in existence at that time. I remember he could tell long Indian legends where I take a few minutes. I remember one legend I listened to him, and there were probably over 500 people there at that time listening to him on that day. 3.5 hours just telling them one legend. He was an amazing man. And I can understand why the Creator would send seven eagles.
Yeah. That was always very touching to me. And Chief Jan George wrote a book, an autobiography of his story. And he wrote a couple of books with some really marvelous stories in them. And I remember that the Indian village that he grew up in, he left it when he was a young man at 21 to work in Vancouver, I think it was. And that was the first time we saw white people. And it was just very, very perplexing to him, the white world. And but he adapted, did quite well. So this is December, time of Christmas. And I had mailed out some Christmas songs in Chinook Wawa. And last week we got through about half of them. And Marcia, why don't you take it on from here? Since I've monopolizing stuff.
That's okay. I kind of have a cough. So I'm hopefully my voice holds out.
Okay. Well, yeah. If you don't, I'll take over, but
okay. Well, I think that we're on number 19. Is that what everybody thinks?
I think so.
Okay.
And if not, we'll do it again.
So let's see. Dorothy, you need to unmute yourself because we want to be able to hear from you. All right. So let's see. Number 19. Totlum P. Moxed Sun Copaclismus. Has somebody already got that one figured out, or how would we start?
So 10 plus 2 days of Christmas.
Right.
Which is what Christmas song?
12 days of Christmas.
Oh, yeah, you have to sing it.
Aha! 2 points for Dorothy, one for the song, one for the entertainment.
Danny, did you get that one? Do you have any questions about that one?
I didn't do my homework.
Well, you know what? I didn't do mine in advance either, because I figure it's more fun to kind of figure them out together. So some are easy, some are hard, but we'll do this. So number 20. Since there's so few of us, I think we'll just kind of do it together. So highest Tagali Tai'i Potlatch Halo Mamuk Kopahihi Men.
I can guess what the two last words mean. Jolly men.
Jolly men. See, I didn't. Okay, and do you recognize highest Tagali Tai'i?
Well, that's like the Great Spirit.
Yeah. And then.
Or God.
God.
Well, yeah, because these are Christmas songs God in give, English, so.
Mm-hmm. And God give. Potlatch give.
Okay. Halo Mamuk.
No work.
Right. Which is.
Rest.
Oh, rest ye jolly men. God.
Oh.
God rest ye jolly men. Is that the name of it?
What do you think it is, Dorothy? You're really close. Dorothy, what do you think it is?
God rest ye merry gentlemen.
Yeah.
Right.
Gentlemen.
Hmm. I already did these like last year and the year before.
Yeah.
So
I know we've done it
before. That's okay.
But, yeah,
so that's okay. Once a year is a good refresher.
Yes, it is exactly. But yes, I don't want to be like jumping in with all the answers. So.
Right, but there's not very many of us. So we'll just share it around.
Okay.
Okay. So are you going to give us the entertainment rendition of it, or we're going to let Danny do that?
What does that mean?
God rest ye. Can you sing a line or two from God rest ye merry gentlemen?
I'm sorry, I don't know it.
Oh,
Dorothy, you don't?
I don't know.
Oh my goodness gracious! Well, all you need is the first line.
God rest.
We don't expect the whole song.
There you go.
Go ahead.
You got it.
Is it just?
Go ahead.
I might miss a word. God rest ye jolly gentlemen. No, that's
Mary.
Not.
Mary gentlemen.
Mary
gentlemen. Okay. God rest ye merry gentlemen. La 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 la.
Let nothing you dismay.
Let nothing you dismay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Icta tennis okokna. So this is a question. Icta, what does everybody knows what tennis means?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Small or baby.
Or child.
Child. Yeah.
Dorothy, what's ikta?
Things.
Well, it's a question.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Iktas is
what
things.
What child this? Ikta.
Yeah. What child this?
Be.
We had the word na. I forget if we had the word na.
Yeah, we did, but it was a while back. If it's at the beginning of a sentence, it means pay attention, listen up, I'm saying something important, I want you to listen. If it's at the end, it's a question. So because if you don't say na, then it could be a statement or it could be a question. You know, because there are some things, it depends upon how you say it, whether it's a statement or a question. So that would be why you'd put na. You understand, you know what I'm saying? So na normally would not be in that sentence, but in Chinook, it would.
That's a good point. I forgot that. So thank you for clarifying that again.
So, what child is this who lay to rest in Mary's lap is sleeping? That's as far as I'm going to go.
You guys, you know what? I've skipped number 22.
Okay. You did? Okay.
Yeah, because what do you mean?
We were just going to 22, right?
Well, we did.
Yeah, 22 is the next one.
Oh, okay. In my mind, I skipped it. Okay.
Okay. I was thinking you meant somehow or the other you didn't print it off.
Okay, Molly, Yaka Kumtuxna. So already from now we know it's another question, and Molly.
Mary.
Yeah, Mary. Because there's that Mary. The R sounding it looking at like an L. So
and Yaka would be her.
Or you.
Oh.
And what does
because it's mean? After a person's name, so Yaka is normally there.
It's usually there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Mary, she no question.
So think of the carol that's like that. Mary, do
Mary,
you know?
Did you know? Yeah.
Right. Cool.
So it wouldn't be that, what would Yaka mean there?
It would be you. So they're addressing Mary, and that would be... It would be for you. Okay, 23. Klatwa Mamuk Wawa Kopa Lamanti. What words do you know? What words do you know, Dorothy?
Klatwa is go.
Mamuk Wawa.
Tell.
Yeah. And then Dorothy, how about Kopa Lamanti as a phrase?
On the mountain.
Yeah.
Ah.
You can sing that, Dorothy.
Do I know the go tell it on the mountain?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
over
it.
The hills and everywhere.
Cool.
Go tell it on the mountain. Okay, 24. Nika Nenich Mama. Let's see. Nika Nenich Mama Mamuk Baby Santa Claus. BB. So Santa
I
Claus
think it's
Bebe. baby.
I see Mama kissing Santa Claus.
Good job.
Right.
Good job.
Right off the bat. Good girl.
I didn't think you'd know baby or whatever it's pronounced. So good for you.
Well, she knows the song. I saw Mama what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew Nan.
And Mamook makes, because baby is kiss, so it can be a noun or a verb.
Oh,
but Mamook baby makes it kissing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I saw Mama kissing Santa Claus. So that's why you have Mamook in there.
It's pronounced Bebe.
All right.
Bebe.
Bebe.
Just think of some bebe. Suave Frenchman. Oh, Bebe.
Okay, on to 25. Tennis pom-pom, tennis man.
Mm-hmm.
What's pom-pom? Who knows what pom-pom is?
Looking it up.
Drum.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those ones where the name of something is from the sound.
Drum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So tennis pom-pom, tennis man. What do you think, Danny?
Well, I know the little drummer boy.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Oh, tennis man, yeah.
And tennis man's a small man, which is a boy.
Right. I love that song.
Oh, good, you can sing.
Me too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I heard a volunteer there.
Uh-oh, I forgot, though. How does it start? Oh, my gosh. I just went blank.
They told me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. Now you sing it, because I'm not very good.
They told me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum.
Beautiful.
I used to sing
our newborn king to see pow, bum, 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 bum.
Very good. This is fun. Okay, 26. Micah cumtax icta, Nika cumtax na. Oh, it's another question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You know what I know? No.
Yeah, that's it. Do you know what I know? Because it's a question mark.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to sing that.
Do you know it, Dorothy?
Know what I know.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
And then
I
it
know.
Has the line of, do you hear what I hear? But you know, do you know what I know is the name of the song, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 27. Yosh Tum Tum Kopa Kanaway Ilahi. So Yosh Tum Tum Kopa Kanaway Ilahi.
Yosh is a...
peace on earth.
Kwan is happy in a blissful, contented way. Yosh has a lot more enthusiasm to it.
So Yosh Tum Tum.
It's wild and crazy.
So Dorothy, what did you say you thought it was?
Joy.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Kopa Kanaway Ilahi. So what hymn starts with joy? Kopa Kanaway Ilahi. What's Ilahi?
The world.
Yep.
The world.
Joy to.
Yeah.
Literally, joy to all lands. So joy to the world.
And the world is all land and water.
Very good. Okay, 28. To cope Christmas.
Hey, we haven't had a volunteer sing it.
Oh, joy to the world. We all should know that.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Yeah.
How about that?
Very good.
Receive her king.
28, to cope Christmas.
White Christmas.
Uh-huh.
White.
Yeah.
Sing it, Danny.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
You have such a good voice. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. 29, a long one. Nike Cumtux Copa Colon. Tintin Copa Christmas Sun. So Copa Colon is a key phrase there. Danny, do you know what that means? Copa Colon?
No.
Dorothy?
Copa. By ear?
Yeah, colon is ear. So it's probably means heard.
Bells.
Tintin, okay.
Christmas
bills day. On Christmas Day. Cumtux Copa Colon means heard. So I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
And that is a song that I cry about.
Well, then you should
say. If you ever listen to the words.
I don't know
it. I don't know it either.
Oh, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And loud and sweet their song repeats. A peace on earth, goodwill to men. This was during a war. Because the next verse says, you know, but I looked around and there was no peace on earth. There was no goodwill to men. So sometimes read the story to that. But it's a beautiful song.
Was that from World War One, or do you know?
What's that?
Was that from World War
I? I don't know
one,
what war.
Do you know?
It was either Civil War or World War One.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it might have been the Civil War, too.
There's that story in World War
I think it was the Civil War, actually.
Where they were in trenches, and the Germans were on one side, and I think the English were on the other, and they heard the bells, or they heard singing on Christmas Day, and so they...
Had a truce.
They kind of fight. Right. They had a truce for that day.
Yeah.
They shared and
yeah.
Oh, Tom's got something up there.
Stuff. Okay.
What's it say? Oh. I can't read my print is too small.
Okay. He has a poem by Henry Wadsworth by Longfellow. So it was
okay.
Written in
so
1864.
That was definitely an older song.
From 1864.
When was it written?
1864. So Civil War.
That'd be the Civil War. Yeah.
You're right.
Amazing.
Can you read the words to it?
Thanks.
I can't read it. I my print is microscopic on my tablet.
Okay, I'll read it. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the second time you're going too far, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Yep.
Very pretty.
Beautiful, yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Yeah. Yep, that one really gets me.
Okay, number 30. Yake Chaco Copa Sitcom Polakli Copa Halo Kusa Smoke. Yake Chaco Copa Sitcom Polakli Copa Halo Kusa Smoke. So I like to pick out phrases first to kind of give me clues. So Copa Sitcom Polakli, who knows what that is? Polakli is night. What sitcom? Sitcom.
So evening?
Halfway. Sitcom, remember, is half, middle.
Middle of the night. Oh, midnight. Okay.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
It came upon.
Oh, Yake Chaco. So it came. Okay.
Not Copa would smoke. Be upon. Oh.
So at midnight.
So the sky, if it does not have smoke, what is it?
Clear.
Yeah. So what do we think this is?
it came upon a midnight clear.
Yeah.
Right.
That always throws me when you throw in the stuff that it isn't.
Yeah.
So uh-huh. If you see a halo in there, it probably means it's not what the next words are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not cloudy.
Right.
There, in fact, in jargon, there are an awful lot of words that do not have a corresponding, clear and cloudy. If there are clouds and there are no clouds, then you would say there are no clouds. Or happy and not happy. You know, a lot of times they'll just put a halo, I'm not happy.
Well, you only have to learn half as many words then. It's easier.
You do. Yeah. In fact, before traders came here, they figured there was only like 300 or 400 words in the trade language. But then as we came in and brought things they didn't have, they had to adopt French or English or whatever.
All righty, 31, Yekwa Santa Claus Chaco. We got the Santa Claus. Yekwa and Chaco, what do those mean?
He became.
Well, look at Yekwa again. What does Yekwa mean?
Oh, Yekwa.
Yekwa. Yekwa. Dorothy?
Remember there's Yawa and Yekwa?
Here comes Santa Claus.
Is Yaka Yekwa? Because I just
We're on 31. I think you're on the wrong one.
Oh, I'm on the wrong one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, Yekwa is here and Yawa is there. So Yekwa, here comes Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Go ahead.
Sing it. Go ahead.
Here comes Santa Claus, Lee.
Yeah.
32. Sigali Copa, Sigali Copa House. Sigali Copa House.
Great. Is it Sigali Great?
No, it's above.
Above. Sorry.
Anything. Above you, all the way up to heaven, is the holly. Sagali.
So did somebody figure this out?
I can.
Okay.
Well, I wrote it, so I should.
Up on the housetop?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Up on the housetop.
And what is the housetop? What's the top of the house?
Copa house.
Roof.
Right.
Up on the rooftop, reindeer paws. Down through the chimney with Santa Claus.
Is the title of the song Up on the Rooftop? I can't remember.
Up on the Rooftop.
Okay. All right.
That's what I call it anyway.
Okay. I just couldn't remember. Okay, 33. Santa Claus, Yaka Chaco Copa Hayu House. Santa Claus. Okay, Santa Claus, he. Chaco.
He comes to. No.
Many houses.
Yeah.
So what does that translate?
He does come to many houses, doesn't he? What are, and when you got a collection of many houses together, what is it?
Oh,
town.
Oh, we had that last week.
Oh, yeah, town. Okay.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Good one, Danny.
That I can't remember how that song starts. Anybody remember
you
how that song
better watch
starts?
Out. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice. Marsh is not on it, but Danny is.
Santa Claus.
Isn't that
is
the
coming.
Way the second verse goes?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, number 34. This is a more contemporary song, not an old hymn, a more contemporary right. song. What is it?
Santa Baby.
Santa Baby.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to sing it.
I only know the first one, Santa Baby.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a cute song.
Yeah.
I like the song. I think it's really cute.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, 35.
The last song is Dwayne Pascoe approved. I had no idea how to say this, and he's the one who gave us this song title.
What is it?
Let It Snow.
Let It Snow. Because he said it's a command. Yeah,
oh, okay.
He said because it's a command.
Okay.
So you just say snow, snow, snow. You know.
So what is it in Chinook? Because I don't have it on my.
Oh, it's just snow, snow. Well, except that's not the Chinook word for snow. It's kol snos. Isn't kol snos snow?
No. It cold snow is snow.
Okay.
And you could call it cold to cold stuff, not because I mean a cold rain or you know could be that, but I don't. I'll have to look up. Wait, I've got my Chinook, my Grand Ron dictionary right here.
Cold snow.
Oh, cold
snow is hail. Colsnoss is hail.
I would say think hail should be call, like hard.
Well, I'm just looking. That, no, but it's cold. I'm just looking in Dwayne's book.
I know. I'm. Oh, if he. Let me see. RST. Just a second.
So in this one, it has
snow, hard.
Snow or snow.
Okay. In the Chinook, in the Grand Ron dictionary, they have tecopsnos for white rain, you know, because it's rain. They also have colsnos. They have colsnos too. So they have two ways of saying it. Cold, like cold, or snoo. They got SNU for snow, and that is tecopsnos. And hard, hey, Oh, and hard snow, or I wonder if that says snow hard, and that would be Hyas Kolsnas.
Okay. Like having a blizzard.
The Grand Ronde Dictionary has a lot more, but the thing is, it's hard to, you know, think of that funny writing.
Phonetic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are at the end of our time. And we will see you next Thursday for our last meeting this year. And then we will be picking up on the first Thursday in January.
So Laura, do you have an activity? Do you have an activity for next week?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I do for next week. I do have an activity for next week.
And you'll spring it on us then?
Okay. No, I'm going to send it to you because what it is the night before Christmas in jargon. Okay. And I am going to send you the English separate. So you can use the English as a crutch, you know, because that's a long poem.
So we're going to try to work on translating from jargon to English.
Right.
That sounds good. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. And you're going to give us the answers?
Yes,
I am. I am separately. You'll get two emails. Actually, you're going to get three emails because you're going to get a reminder that Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, we will not be here. In fact, I probably won't be here. I'm going to be at Westport on Christmas Eve. And then I'll give you one with the night before Christmas in jargon and one with the night before Christmas in the way it's translated in English so that you don't have to see them together. You know, you can try to do it on your own and then peek if you have to.
All right. That sounds fun.
That's cool. All right. Howdy, everyone.
What'd you say, Dorothy?
I won't be here next Thursday because I'm at work Thursday nights now and probably not in January, but I won't be here next time. So.
Okay.
Oh, look at that picture of it snowing somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah. I heard the bells on Chris. Oh, he's going to play it.
Cool.
Oh, look at that. Burl Ives.
I don't hear it, though.
There's no sound. I just see that.
Yeah, that Christmas in the Trenches. This song reminds me of that song of Christmas in the Trenches. That was World War I. In fact, I have a book that was written about that. And that's the one where there was no man's land and the English soldiers were on one side and the Germans were on the other. It was Christmas Eve. And the Germans started singing Silent Night in German. And then the English picked it up and started singing it. And they ended up going out into no man's land between the two, and they played a soccer game. Yeah. And they shared chocolate. They showed each other pictures of their families. And the next morning, nobody had the heart to go back to battle. They had to send all the soldiers from the front to the rear because they refused to fight.
I didn't hear that part of it.
That's a true story. Yeah. Yeah. They refused to fight because they had made friends. Yeah, I have a book on that.
Okay, well,
so that didn't work. Yes, my great grandfather was on the Allies side of that event.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
That very event?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he wow. said that they just once the once people started doing Christmas carols, it's hard to shoot somebody who's feeling the same thing that you are. And it was like, what the hell?
Yeah. And they shared chocolate, you know, they showed each other pictures of their families. And they just realized they were more alike than not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope the 2020 brings some of that spirit in.
Yeah. We'll be the light.
There's been too much division this year. In fact, I have a thing on Facebook. The Northern Cheyenne. They just voted in an entire woman tribal council. Yeah, first time. They've had women on, you know, before, but now every single member of the tribal council is a woman. And that's what they want to bring is peace.
Cool.
And there's an old Indian saying that says, when the grandmothers are heard, there will be peace.
Makes sense.
Most of us are grandmothers.
Yeah.
So, Merry Christmas.
All right.
Oh. You too.
All right. See you next week.
Okay. Dorothy, yes. Have a nice Christmas. We'll see you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays, everybody. Thank
you.
To all.
I will.
It becomes light again.